the more that you can be positive with each other, the more you build up that bank, so to speak, the credits, so that it can help to soften the blow if there's a little bit of negativity. But we know that there's generally at least a 5-to-1 count of negative to positive, meaning that you can say 5 positives and then 1 negative, and the 1 negative will wipe out the 5 positives. Mm-hmm. So it's really important in this time to express as much appreciation, gratitude, et cetera, to one another.
This week, Dr. Karen Sherman and I discuss a new study out of the University of Michigan, which looks at the stress that was caused by the Great Recession and what lessons we can learn during this COVID-19 lockdown. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm going to keep this short. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. You should know that we have a website, hitchmag.com, with thousands of articles, our complete podcast archive with over 500 episodes, a free weekly newsletter, and more. If you like this podcast, please leave a rating or review to help encourage others to join. And without further ado, enjoy. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Steve Cooper, editor-in-chief of HitchedMag.com. I am joined once again by the lovely, the brilliant, the original Dr. Karen Sherman. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Steve. I was going to say good morning. Oh, my God. Quarantine is getting to us, right?
Well, it works because I'm in California, so it's still morning for me. So that works.
Yes. Okay.
Good morning. Hello. So Karen is a practicing psychologist in relationship and lifestyle issues for over 30 years. Karen is the author of Mindfulness and the Art of Choice, Transform Your Life. She is also the co-author of Marriage Magic, Find It, Keep It, and Make It Last. So Karen, I came across, you brought up that we're still in quarantine. We are talking in the midst of the COVID-19, which regardless of when this comes out, I feel like it's still going to be pretty high up on the level of conversation topics. With that being said, I came across a study, as I do, from the University of Michigan, and it looked at data from a previous research project called Midlife in the United States Project, which looked at data. So these researchers from the University of Michigan took that project and then analyzed data from 2004 to 2006, which was before the Great Recession. And then they looked at data again at from 2013 to 2014. And the sample data that they looked at included 1,500 adults between the ages of 25 and 74, and they disclosed the recession adversities that they had been dealing with, along with mental health and household income. They found that married couples who reported having more disagreements if they experienced financial difficulties. Okay, so this to me seems pretty straightforward. Is there something that maybe I'm looking at it, I should be taking into consideration when looking at those results?
No, I think it's pretty straightforward, but one thought that I had is it would be interesting to me if they would have also told us the different age groups. 25 to 74 is a very big spread.
Right.
And so you're going to have people at the earlier end having younger children, and that could add additional stressors. You could have people at the later end who are retired. You know, those are other factors. So I think that it would have also been interesting to know what the age groups were if they had broken it down, let's say, for every 10 years to see, you know, the amount of difficulty that people were having by age groups. Because we could have then had, you know, more of a discussion about what other factors were going on.
Right. That's such a great point. And, you know, it's funny now that I'm thinking about it, if you're in that close in the 70s, for example, you've experienced more in life. So you've gone through financial difficulties, perhaps, or the likelihood of that is more likely than somebody who's younger because you just haven't been around as long. So
correct.
You might have learned how to deal with it and overcome it. And now that, again, now that I'm thinking about it, it would be interesting to see if the results are similar now, because we now have an entire generation who has already gone through this once before, and it was only 10 years ago. Less than that. So maybe we're like, oh yeah, I've done this. I know how to handle it. It sucks, but this is the way it is. So that, I think that would be interesting.
Yes.
This also reminds me, so last night I watched the Jerry Seinfeld has a new stand-up special on Netflix.
How did you find it? Because somebody else told me about it.
It just on it. So the day that we're recording this is the like within 24 hours of it dropping. I was reading an article and I saw that he had one coming out and I went to Netflix and there it was on the new releases. So that's how I found it. But anyways, within the special, this is not really like a spoiler because I'm not giving you any kind of punchline or clever delivery that he does. But he talks about how he's not interested in things because he's already experienced it. He's just like, yeah, I want to know about it, but like, yeah, I get it. And he moves on. And I kind of feel like that might be the same thing here as like, I know about this recession thing. I know about the financial hardship. I've been there. I've done that. So let's move on. I know it's not that easy in what we're talking about, but it would be interesting to see. Hopefully somebody does a follow-up with the fallout of what we're going through right now. Okay, so the researchers also noted that the disagreements predicted poor mental health. Do these two things necessarily go hand in hand, or what do you think about that?
Well, they don't necessarily go hand in hand, but chances are they will go hand in hand. Because when you're having disagreements, there's negativity, there's stress, there's conflict, there's anxiety. You know, all of those things are going to lead to just feeling bad. And mental health runs a very wide gamut. So it could be as little as just feeling anxious to full-blown, you know, depression. And again, if you're having these disagreements, it could absolutely make you feel, let's say, anxious about your relationship to full-blown depression about we're really in bad straits here. Things are not good. Things are not good between us. So again, though it doesn't have to go hand in hand, it would seem that it would likely bring on problems with one's mental health.
Right. And, you know, I just alluded to it, you know, a minute ago, but this, you know, what happened in this study is this, may this be an indicator of what we can expect in the future? And if so, is there any way that couples can prepare for the upcoming or current stress that they are feeling?
Okay. So first of all, again, since many of the couples, as you have keep pointing out, have already done it, I think that one of the things that they can do is acknowledge for themselves, we have gotten through this. We have done this before. We have gotten through this, because knowing that you can handle something really does help you feel more prepared. For the younger people, I think that either they can speak to their parents and get some advice from them. I think that having some kind of plan, having some kind of structure helps. One of the reasons this is such a difficult situation for everybody is because we feel out of control. And one of the tools that many of us in the profession are recommending is to create structure in your daily life. And I think that if couples have a game plan for handling their finances, handling how they're going to discuss issues that are troubling, handling how to deal with stress when it comes up. That alone will give them more of a sense of being in control. And then they can obviously, you know, put those things into place so that everything becomes much more manageable. Mm-hmm. When we just do things helter-skelter and we don't know where we're going, that's when things get really, you know, messy.
Mm-hmm. I brought it up and you were just talking about how couples have been through this before. That also changes the dynamic this time around because you might then succumb to nihilism where, what does it matter? Like we did this, we survived. Like the last time it's like, okay, we, you know, gritted our teeth and we worked through it. And mm-hmm. we really like buckled down and dug ourselves out of the hole. And like, lo and behold, here we are again. Like what the mm-hmm. hell? Like, mm-hmm. why does it even matter? Mm-hmm. Is there, like, are you seeing that at all? Is there a fear of that happening? And it's like, if it doesn't look like there's any like major institutional change, like what, why are we not going to just do this again in another like 8 to 10 years?
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Yet. But I don't want to dismiss what you're saying as a possibility. I do think that there are people who could very well feel like, oh, here we go again. You know, why even bother? That is, you know, a possibility. And then one of the ways that couples can help each other is for one to be more of the motivator, more of the cheerleader, you know, and it doesn't have to be the same person all the time, mm-hmm. but being like, yes, we have done this, but here's the reason we want to do it again, you know, and, you know, let's do this together. And, you know, there is a reason. Look at the strength that came out of this and whatever. You know, Governor right. Cuomo in his daily briefings keeps talking about it's not enough just to get through this situation, but we have to learn from it. Because if we learn how to manage the different pieces of this, then we're going to have a better situation. So if a couple says, oh, we've been through this and here we go again, one of the ways to then change your perspective is to say, okay, so what did we learn mm-hmm. the last time we went through this? Were there things we could have done differently? Were there things that, you know, we did that worked, whatever? So to change the perspective on it so that you end up feeling stronger, feeling more resilient.
Mm-hmm. I had a couple thoughts. One is I have a friend who has some kids who are a bit older, 20, like probably 20 and 22 is my guess. Mm-hmm. And I know that, so this is now the second economic calamity. Mm-hmm. I don't even, you know, it's not even like a downturn. It's a calamity mm-hmm. That they're experiencing. And they just feel like everything's rigged, right? So I worry, like, I know the audience that we're talking to right now is a bit older than that. But I worry, what does the next 10, 20 years look like for that generation coming up? Where it's just like, yeah, thanks. And then completely unrelated is, as you were talking about couples learning from this stuff, it reminds me of how when you deal with some sort of break in a relationship, like mm-hmm. infidelity, for example, it kind of peels back all the veneer of what you were doing to get by. And mm-hmm. now the truth has been exposed. And I kind mm-hmm. of feel like this might be an opportunity where all the distractions of life coming and going, the routine has been broken. And mm-hmm. so now you're having to face some of the stuff that you may not have addressed in the past. Mm-hmm. So that might be a benefit to come out of this as well.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, you know, one of the things, one of the reasons we're talking about this and bringing it up is because, like, hopefully we can avoid, you know, do a little judo here and take what's coming at us and flip it. And so being stressed doesn't mean that you need to take it out on your partner. And if we know that last time we were stressed about our financial situation, it looks like it's going to happen again, you know, whether it's financial or some other stress, it could be health, for example. What tips do you have for couples to avoid taking that stress and having it turn into fights with your partner or your spouse?
Okay, so the first thing is that, you know, it's like that song, you always hurt the one you love. You can go out with your masks on and talk to people, and how are you doing? Oh, you know, we're doing what we have to do. You know, it is what it is. And then you come home and you let loose, because since you feel safer with your partner, that's the one you can let it out on. So I think that if we sort of know that, we might be able to flow with it a little bit more. And I think the concept of flowing is really important these days. That being said, if I go back to my other tip of how are we going to discuss finances? How are we going to deal with things when we're stressed? How can we have discussions that are difficult? If you can have a discussion about how you're going to do those things, then when it comes up, it will be easier to actually go ahead and do it. So let's say, you know, one partner gets really stressed and starts to speak, and the tone is just not nice because of the stress that they're feeling. The other person can say, listen, we both know that we're stressed. And remember, we said that, you know, when we felt that way, we were going to remind each other if we heard a tone that was making, you know, didn't sound nice or whatever. So I realize you're stressed. And of course you're stressed. So am I. But, you know, please watch the tone. Mm-hmm. That observation and reminder would have come after a discussion about, okay, so when we're stressed, here's what I notice I do. And then the other person's saying, yeah, here's what I know I do. Okay, so can we agree that the last thing we need is to add more stress to our lives and take it out on each other? So what are we going to do if we notice it? So we're not going to do a blame game. We're just going to do like a reminder or something like that. And so then when it happens, you know, you can say, remember we said we were going to just be aware, make mm-hmm. each other aware of something. So then it doesn't become a whole big, you know, a whole big to do. The other thing that I'm going to say is, and we've discussed this on other podcasts relative to the quarantine and in general, mm-hmm. the more that you can be positive with each other, the more you build up that bank, so to speak, the credits, so that it can help to soften the blow if there's a little bit of negativity. But we know that there's generally at least a 5-to-1 count of negative to positive, meaning that you can say 5 positives and then 1 negative, and the 1 negative will wipe out the 5 positives. Mm-hmm. So it's really important in this time to express as much appreciation, gratitude, et cetera, to one another, so that it will make your partner feel that they are cared about, respected, that they matter. And so it will help to cushion if there's a little bit of stress that comes out, and also allow you to flow a little bit more. Now, the other thing is, I generally look at a pattern when 3 things have happened. So if you can let things happen and let it go, flow with it, as we've mentioned already mm-hmm. today, mm-hmm. but let's say it's happened 3 times, you can say, sweetie, I've been trying really hard to just sort of flow and let things go because that's what we need to be doing now. And I know you don't mean to be taking things out on me, but this is the 3rd time so-and-so's happened, so I just want to call it to your attention. Mm-hmm. Okay, not attacking.
Right, yep. I was going to point that out.
Right, making the other person aware. So I think between flowing, being positive, having a sort of set of structures in place for how you're going to deal with your stress and your fighting, for just not attacking back, but making the other person aware. I think all of those things will help couples to avoid fighting.
Yeah. I thought of two things while you were speaking. One is when you're talking about the 5-to-1 ratio of positive to negative, It reminds me of in sports, when you have talk to any like really competitive person who has done a lot of winning. And the thing that they will tell you is every single detail about the one loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's exactly how this is, right? Like it's, you know, we won all these games, but that one loss just negated and wiped out all that stuff. And so that's what I think about when I think of the 5-to-1 ratio. We had 5 wins, but that one loss is really going to wipe out all the good feelings of those 5 wins. So
yes, negativity, we hold on to negativity and the details of negativity much more than we do the positive.
Mm-hmm. And then the second thing that I was going to bring up is, as you were talking, one of the things that I feel like I'm going to use my relationship as an example. And one of the things that I feel like we've definitely gotten better at in my relationship is self-awareness of when we are personally stressed. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, something will come out and it will sound like you were talking about tone, and it will sound attacking, or just not the right tone. And we have gotten that self-awareness to us, and we will preemptively strike with a, "I'm sorry, I'm stressed out. This isn't about you. This is about work, or this is about this friend, or this is about whatever." And so it immediately takes the partner off the defensive so that they don't come back and attack. But you have to have that self-awareness about what you're feeling, why you're feeling it, and recognize the tone that's coming out at the time in order to do that. But it's, once you get it, you get it. So I wanted to throw that out there too.
I think that's a great idea, Stephen. The only thing that I would add to that is that sometimes the tone, we'll stay with the tone, just sort of slips out before you have preemptively, disowned it, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But if it slips out, you can also say, "Wow, I just realized that came out really not sounding good. And it's truly because I'm upset about something at work."
Well, and that's the thing I was just going to say. And that's the thing too, is like, even if you don't preempt it, it comes out and your spouse says, "Geez, that's, you know, don't take it out on me," or something. If you have that self-awareness, like, "Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. It wasn't about you. And I didn't intend it to be that way," et cetera,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
Okay. So then the last thing is the mental aspect to this. Mm-hmm. This is just a tough situation. I totally recognize that. But we want to give people some takeaways here. So how can individuals within the relationship keep their mental health strong when they feel like they're lifting the weight of the world around them?
Well, I think it's important, first of all, to be doing a lot for your self-care. I don't want to come across as not being empathetic to what we're all going through right now, and not understanding that, you know, we all want a little bit more comfort food, and we want to sleep in, and we want to, you know, what's wrong with having a couple of glasses of wine every night? But really, the thing you can do best for yourself is to be structured, get up when you normally get up and do what you normally do as far as showering, getting dressed, whatever. To be eating healthy. That's not to say that you can't periodically, you know, have a dessert or whatever, but by and large, to be eating healthy. If your usual routine is to have a glass of wine at dinner, well, go ahead. But don't start indulging. To do your exercise, to have contacts outside your mate. It's really important to be socializing through phone calls, through Zoom, you know, whatever, through your walks, to have some time for yourself. even though we're feeling quarantined and isolated, sometimes you just need some time to yourself, whether it's to take a walk or to read a book, you know, but also just to be staying active in whatever way you like to be staying active. So all of those things will help your own mental health and feeling, you know, good within yourself. And then if each partner can do that, then you make a better couple.
Right. It's what's interesting about it, and I love all those recommendations, is this is the opportunity and the time that you can work on yourself. Like, mm-hmm. by definition, we are told to socially isolate and distance ourselves from other people, which means go ahead and work on yourself. I have a friend who got an exercise bike, and you know, this is exercise that he wasn't doing before, but he is now. Mm-hmm. And I know that I have had more video calls and chats with family and friends than I think I've ever had before. And as a matter of fact, I actually had a video chat with a college roommate who I haven't talked to in probably 15 years. And it was amazing. And I know that's not really working on myself per se, but that was part of the mental health thing of like, oh yeah, these people are still there for me, and vice versa. So we are in this like really extraordinary time. And to your point, like there are a lot of things that you can do. And I know it can be mundane, some of it. But it's also like you might have the opportunity to tackle some of the things that you just didn't think you'd have time for. You can do the journaling. You can do the walks. You can start riding a bike. You can do all those things that you thought maybe you would like to try, but you didn't have time. So hopefully people can find solace in those kind of things. Did you have anything you wanted to add, Karen, before we go?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I guess, you know, the only other piece I'd add maybe to the list you just gave is this is a really good time to try meditation as well. Mm. Meditation is good, physically, psychologically, it offers a good sense of hope. It teaches you how to let go of things. I think it's probably one of the best practices you can do. And again, it's one of those things that you always say, oh, you know, I'll learn about it eventually. Well, now's a good, you know, eventual time. So,
right. Yeah. Oh, that's a great one. I love that. We'll let people meditate on that for the next week.
Okay.
So let's wrap this one up. Thank you so much for your time, Karen. It is always a pleasure.
Thank you, Steve.
So before we do go, I want to remind you, you have been listening to Dr. Karen Sherman, who is a practicing psychologist in relationship and lifestyle issues for over 30 years. Karen is the author of Mindfulness and the Art of Choice, Transform Your Life. She is the co-author of Marriage Magic, Find It, Keep It, and Make It Last. You can get this and more information at her website, drkarensherman.com. You can find this information on our website, hitchmag.com, along with thousands of articles, podcast archive, and a free newsletter that I like to mention every week, and much, much more. Karen, before I go, I should ask you, so I'm guessing pretty much all your clients now are through
virtual.
Virtual?
Yeah.
Are you taking new clients?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time and you'd like to talk to Karen, she's taking virtual clients, so go to drkarensherman.com to learn more. Is that the best place, Karen?
They can absolutely do that. Or the other way to reach me is if they go to Psychology Today and look for me, Dr. Karen Sherman, and I'm in Carmel, New York. That will get people, that will offer people a way to be in touch with me by phone.
Okay, awesome. Well, there you guys go.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, my pleasure. I can't believe I didn't think of this earlier. Sorry. And so until next time, contact Karen if you'd like to. Visit our website if you'd like to. And we'll be here next week. Until next time, take care, everybody.